Hello and welcome to the debate. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, as human rights abuses by Israel are on the rise, Tel Aviv is set to join the UN Human Rights Council. The irony has not been missed, as currently Israel is threatening to expel 70,000 Bedouins from the Negev Desert who have lived on that land for at least 1,000 years. Many see Israel being part of the UN Human Rights Council as problematic. This is Tel Aviv continues its siege on the Gaza Strip, and Gazans have very little energy sources, clean water, or proper sewage system. Stay with us as we take a close-up look on this latest situation on Israel in this, the debate.
The plight of the Palestinian people living in the Gaza Strip is once again in the spotlight after Amnesty International warns of a prolonged humanitarian crisis in the territory ahead of winter. Gaza has been grappling with blackouts lasting for 12 to 16 hours a day due to a shortage of fuel. Amnesty blames Israel for the crisis, calling on Tel Aviv to lift its years-long siege of the Gaza Strip. With this in mind, one finds a tragic irony in the news that Israel, as an apartheid regime, is going to join the Human Rights Council, the UN rights body with which Tel Aviv has been quarreling for long years. Israel is said to be joining the Human Rights Council as a member of its European bloc. Tel Aviv cut all ties with the Geneva-based council in March 2012 after the body said it would investigate how Israeli settlements may be infringing on the rights of Palestinians. The settlements and even the Gaza siege are just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to Israel's rights record. Add to the long list of Israel's human rights violations, its act of violence against Palestinians and other regional nations and abuse of Palestinian prisoners. Israel has launched two major wars against Gaza over the past few years at a time when the impoverished territory has been grappling with a crippling siege. In its first major offensive on Gaza, which began in 2008, Israel used wide range of weapons against civilians, including phosphorus bombs. The regime was accused of war crimes even by one of its allies, that is Britain. More than 1,400 people were killed in that war, mostly civilians, including women and children. Tel Aviv has a long history of abusing Palestinian prisoners, including minors. Israeli authorities have been accused of torturing inmates and sexually abusing minors and threatening them with rape. Since it was created after World War II, the Israeli regime has launched many wars against regional nations, including Egypt, Jordan, Lebanon, and Syria. Israel has committed so many violations of human rights with impunity, thanks to unbridled support from its Western allies, particularly the U.S. Washington has vetoed many UN Security Council resolutions against Israel, obstructing justice to a regime which has been a pariah to all regional nations and many outside the Middle East ever since it was created.
I'd like to welcome my guest to the program out of San Francisco, investigative journalist Mr. Lee Kaplan. And out of New York, author and lecturer, Mr. Norman Gary Finkelstein. Thank you both for being aboard. Well, let's start this off in San Francisco with Mr. Kaplan. How is Israel able to be a part of the UN Human Rights Council when its oppression against the Palestinians seems to be increasing?
Well, first of all, Marzia, I take extreme exception to that news report you just had. It's pure propaganda. It's pure anti-Israel propaganda, and it's simply not it's not true. And the fact is, Israel is a very strong promoter of human rights. 20% of the population of Israel are Arabs, and they're Israeli citizens with the same rights as Jews. You mentioned the Bedouins in the beginning of that report. What's going on with that is that the Bedouins, who have been given free land by the Israelis before, are attempting to take over public lands that belong to the Jewish state and without paying for them. And the Israeli government actually has offered them 70,000 dunams of land for free, which they don't even do for the Jewish population, in order to keep them happy, and that's still not good enough. Your accusations of going to war against the Arab states in the region. It's the Arab states at the Khartoum Conference after 1967 were the ones who declared no peace, no negotiations, no Israel. And you mentioned Gaza. Well, Gaza, Israel deported 8,000 of its own citizens from Gaza. They turned over viable export businesses in flowers and agricultural, and the Palestinians destroyed them all, looted them, made them worthless. They could have employed many Palestinians. So, you know, this is fairly typical of Press TV. You do a very biased news report, and people who don't know any better might believe what you're telling them, but it's simply not true. You know,
okay,
Israel
Mr.
just
Kaplan.
Sent a medical team to Haiti.
All right, Mr. Kaplan, well, of course, you may call us biased, but of course you are a guest and talking about this on Press TV right now. Well, what about that? Let me turn to Professor Finkelstein. Let's look at what some of the accusations that Mr. Kaplan has made, basically, and denials, basically, saying, let's start off with the Bedouins, that Israel actually was the one that gave the Bedouins the land that they're on, and that as far as Gaza, actually, it was the Palestinians themselves that basically are causing the downfall in the situation in the Gaza Strip. Your take, Professor.
Well, there's already a huge, a long history in the case of Gaza of Israeli human rights violations and international condemnations of the blockade, the siege that Israel has imposed on Gaza. I don't think there's any serious dispute among rational people that, as Amnesty International just came out with in a report, and also many other statements in the past several weeks by humanitarian bodies, that Israel is purposely creating a humanitarian crisis in Gaza. Israel right now is taking advantage of the opportunity that public attention is now focused elsewhere in the Arab Muslim world, whether it be in Syria or whether it be the negotiations between Iran and the Western powers. Israel is taking advantage of that situation in order to turn the screws on the people of Gaza, exactly as it did before the 2008-09 Israeli massacre in Gaza, exactly as it did at the time that the Mavi Marmara tried to penetrate Israel's illegal and immoral blockade of Gaza. Once again, they're turning the screws, hoping this time that by imposing this siege on Gaza, the people of Gaza will overthrow or repudiate the Hamas regime. In this respect, it has to be said that Israel is acting in collusion with the so-called Palestinian Authority, which also would want to see the people of Gaza overthrow or repudiate the Hamas regime.
Okay.
But there can't be any serious dispute among rational people that there is a humanitarian crisis in Gaza and that Israel is responsible for it.
But what about that, Mr. Kaplan? Do you not find it ironic that Israel has a land, sea, and air siege, basically, on the Gaza Strip? And obviously, the people in this small strip, excuse me, I'm speaking, obviously, they are under a lot of pressure. And yet now, they are saying that they're going to join, Tel Aviv is going to join a UN Human Rights Council. Is that not ironic to you?
Well, no, it's not ironic because what he just said isn't true. You know, Professor Finkelstein has been fired from every academic teaching position he's ever held, and he was denied tenure at DePaul because all he does is bash Israel with these kinds of lies.
Answer the question,
you want to
sir.
Talk to me
We're
about
not bashing
Gaza?
Guests.
Well,
please answer the question.
Well, I'm trying to do that, Mirzi. I am trying to do that. The fact of the matter is that Gaza has actually been treated very humanely by the Israelis. They provide the food, they truck in food, they provide free medical care for the people in Gaza. And the reason why they can't simply open the borders to anyone is because the rockets are being fired into Israel. They fired 10,000 rockets into Jewish communities in the south, which, you know, nobody on the other side seems to bother to mention. And the fact is that the Hamas, who are running it there. Their charter calls for the annihilation of world Jewry, not just all the Jews in Israel, but all Jews. And they're shooting missiles into kindergartens and elementary schools. Israel provides the bulk of the money. They provide free water and electricity to Gaza. And the only thing they are doing is they're restricting entrance of things like cement, which can be made into bunkers and tunnels and things like that. Mr. Finkelstein loves to repeat the propaganda that supposedly they're under a siege in there and they're suffering. But I can show you pictures of Gaza where they have high-class hotels and wonderful villas that the Hamas leadership live in, which is paid for by U.S. taxpayer money, which is supposed to be going to help the Palestinian people.
All right, Mr. Finkelstein, your take on what Mr. Kaplan has discussed and the overall situation in the Gaza Strip.
The problem, Mr. Kaplan, is he arbitrarily and capriciously simply invokes numbers and figures that have no bearing whatsoever on what's currently happening there. So in order to justify Israel's human rights violations in Gaza, or justify Israeli refusal to negotiate a settlement of the conflict, it brings up the Khartoum Three Nose, which occurred approximately 50 years ago. Now, what those Three Nos have to do with now is anybody's guess, except the desperation of somebody who just grabs at any kind of propaganda he can come up with. Then he brings up these 10,000 Gazan missiles or Gazan projectiles. What that has to do with what's going on now is also beyond my comprehension. This is just random grasping at figures that has nothing to do with the current reality. So let me ask Mr. Kaplan a simple question. Does he think that the international humanitarian agencies, UNRWA, the United Nations Rehabilitation Works Association, Amnesty International, does he think they're just making up these claims of a humanitarian crisis in Gaza? And if he does believe that Amnesty International, for example, is making up these claims, can he possibly explain the motive? Why are they doing it? Is Amnesty International the Nobel laureate in peace? Is Amnesty International anti-Semitic? Is the United Nations Relief and Works Association, is it anti-Semitic? What is the reason why all of these human rights organizations are sounding the fact that there is a humanitarian crisis in Gaza?
Okay, Mr. Kaplan, what about that, what Mr. Finkelstein is pointing out? Go ahead.
People who want to know the truth about what's going on, for example, Amnesty International, can go to ngo-monitor.org on the web, and they can read about Amnesty International. It is corrupt. It has been led by interests who receive money from the Saudis. It is not an honest broker in the situation. When he talks about UNRWA is the biggest ripoff of the American taxpayer and the rest of the world, a welfare scam put on by the Palestinians. They have $1 billion in a retirement fund for their so-called teachers. And what they do is they perpetuate the jihad against the Jews. So, you know, he's doing what he always does.
So basically, you're saying that all of these international organizations, that they are not honest brokers, that none of them actually are saying the truth.
Well, I don't remember saying the word all, but you would have to cite specific ones. He cites Amnesty International because they are corrupt. And as I said, your listeners, your viewers, can go to ngo-monitor.org and they can read about Amnesty International and see that it's corrupt. As far as all these accusations against Israel and there being a siege, life in Gaza, let me finish because you've had more time than I got. The fact is the population in Gaza is the third fattest population in the entire world. Nobody is starving in Gaza. The Israelis truck in food daily through the Arab crossing. The fact is that they have everything they need. They bring it in for them. They don't bring in things that can be used to attack Israel. They don't bring in cement that can be used to make bunkers. In fact, the interesting thing is lately in the news, they had a story that the Israelis were denying the importation of cement. And the Palestinian movement carried on about that, so the Israelis let up on it, and they allowed cement in, and sure enough, they built these tunnels that were found, which were tunneling underneath the Negev into the southern part of Israel to launch another attack against Israel.
Okay.
So, you know,
Mr. Kaplan,
Marcia,
you have 15 seconds. Go ahead, please.
I don't hear you interrupting Mr. Finkelstein. Okay. The fact is, these programs and these supposed debates, they don't help the Iranian people either, you know. All they do is they perpetuate a hatred through lies.
Okay, Mr. Kaplan, I gave you 15 seconds to comment on the subject at hand. Mr. Finkelstein, looking at the situation with the, especially now that Israel is supposed to be rejoining the Human Rights Council, not only rejoining the Human Rights Council, but actually being part of the EU bloc on the council, how much of responsibility do you see the EU and the United States for the aggression that takes place by the Israelis against the Palestinians?
Well, there's no question that Israel couldn't possibly get away with what it does were it not for the uncritical backing of the United States and the passive, not active in my opinion, but the passive support of the European Union. Were the United States and the European Union to impose the pressures and impose the sanctions that are warranted in this situation, there's no doubt in my mind that Israel would be forced to withdraw from the occupied territories and that the Palestinians would have the right to exercise their self-determination as is mandated under international law. So the United States is playing a critical role in enabling Israel to further its annexation of critical parts of the West Bank and enabling Israel to impose a vicious, murderous and illegal blockade of Gaza.
Okay, Mr. Kaplan, looking at the recent situations that we have seen, let's say the war on Syria that Israel wanted, and also what they did not want, this deal between Iran and the P5+1, the nuclear issue, do you think that there is a distancing between the United States and Israel?
I think what you have is you have certain factions in the United States who are eager to get at the trade that might come from a relaxing of the sanctions with the Iranians. However, I don't think ultimately you're going to find a distancing between the Americans and the Israelis. Touching back on something here, you know, Israel is the one who's being faced down by belligerent Arab countries which talk about demolishing the Jewish state. And the fact is the Palestinian leadership has stated they wouldn't be satisfied with an Arab state on the West Bank and Gaza. They're going to take all of Israel. They're going to destroy Israel. They're going to turn it into an Arab-dominated state.
Well, that's what they're still saying. Mr. Kaplan, do you not see that Israel is destroying much of the Arab land right now? You're talking about that the Arab states are saying this. But can we not say that actually as we speak right now, that Israel is more and more taking Arab lands? Let's look at the settlements that have taken place in the West Bank. Of course, illegal according to UN standards and the law. And also now in the Negev Desert. Your take, sir. Go ahead.
Marzia, it is not Arab land. Before 1967, this area was in dispute. It's been in dispute since then. In 1993, the Israelis were generous enough to try and take that issue and that land and say, okay, we're going to negotiate this dispute and we're going to create a Palestinian state where your people can go. The Palestinian movement insists on the unconditional right of return, that any Arab who wants to move inside Israel, inside the Green Line, and live there should come in, and then they can upset the demographic balance, outnumber the Jews, and ultimately take over the state in a way they couldn't do by war. And okay, that's the facts about what's going on here. And you keep saying, let me emphasize this. Not Arab land. The land belonged to the government of Jordan, where the settlements were. It wasn't owned by individual Arabs. They didn't walk in there and take land away from individual Arabs. Okay?
All right, Mr. Finkelstein,
it's not Arab
your
land,
comment,
and
it appears almost that Mr. Kaplan is reiterating the old basic phrases that we would hear before, that Israel established a state on a land basically that had no people, for a people without land. Your take on his comments, Professor Finkelstein?
Well, I would agree with him on one point. It's not Arab land, it's Palestinian land. The International Court of Justice ruled in July 2004 that the West Bank, Gaza, and East Jerusalem, the whole of the West Bank, Gaza, and East Jerusalem are Palestinian territory, and they're designated for the Palestinian right to self-determination. Now, not a single judge on the court, the ICJ, the International Court of Justice, consists of 15 judges from all around the world, including at the time an American judge, Thomas Bergenthal, a British judge, Rosalind Higgins, who's also Jewish. Bergenthal is himself a Holocaust survivor. Not one of the 15 judges dissented from the opinion that the whole of the West Bank, the whole of Gaza, including East Jerusalem, are, to use the terminology of the International Court of Justice, occupied Palestinian territory. Now, I know that Mr. Kaplan is thinking, of course, they're all anti-Semitic, that everybody in the world, every single state, every single individual who criticizes Israel, anyone who finds that international law is being violated by Israel must be an anti-Semite. And it's a very convenient worldview, but it's a worldview that I think has very little to do with reality.
Okay.
Just as Mr. Kaplan's claim that the Arab states want to destroy Israel.
There's no basis for that.
I'm sorry for both of you, actually. I apologize to both of my guests, but we are out of time. But I appreciate you both for being with us. Professor Norman Gary Finkelstein, author and lecturer out of New York, and out of San Francisco, Mr. Lee Kaplan, investigative journalist. And as always, viewers, we appreciate you being with us on another debate. I'm Marzia Hashemi, signing out from Tehran.